giving you new perspectives and information with deep dive expert analysis of the biggest stories that shaped your world this week.
Every 9 minutes, two people in South Africa die from tuberculosis. It's the number one killer in South Africa. The number one killer. We don't speak about tuberculosis very often. Neither do we discuss why the problem is prevalent and what we should be able to do to mitigate against it. Where is the problem? Why are so many people dying from a curable disease? Very curable. Why is it that we do not have the necessary interventions to be able to mitigate against it? By the way, people who are vulnerable to this are particularly people who are socioeconomically disadvantaged. In other words, poor people, people in rural South Africa, people who are disadvantaged by this, are people who do not have the necessary measures to protect themselves. And children under five fall into that vulnerable category. This is heartbreaking, incredibly heartbreaking. But the South African Tuberculosis Conference took place in Durban this week. Hopefully some solutions came forward. Joining me to have this discussion is Priyashni Pandit-Subrayan, who's the Technical TB Director at the Aurum Institute, as well as Dr. Sibongiseni Dhlomo, who's the Deputy Minister of Health. Priyashni, I'm going to start with you. Describe to us the nature of the problem and why this is, in 2022, a problem in South Africa.
Yes, thank you. And that is really an incredibly important question. TB has been around for decades. In fact, it's been around for many, many years. And, you know, some say that unlike HIV, TB is not as sexy. But the problem is that it's just that many people don't think that they have TB, so they're not concerned. You know, there's no doubt that TB disproportionately affects poorer communities, but let us also not forget that it can affect anyone, irrespective of our social state. I think what is worth noting, however, because it affects our most vulnerable, you know, medical interventions alone is not the only answer. And we really need to engage our communities, engage our patients, and tailor our responses to them. So the social determinants of health play a key role, and this cannot be done.
Yeah. Deputy Minister, I want to bring you in here. How much thinking and resources has government dedicated towards understanding the nature of the problem to be able to inform perhaps policy interventions to mitigate against our tuberculosis crisis? Dr. Dhlomo?
Hello.
Hi, Deputy Minister. Go ahead. Now we can hear you.
Yeah. What question were you raising?
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize that you didn't hear my question. How much thinking and resources has government dedicated towards understanding the nature of our TB crisis to be able to determine the vulnerabilities and really come to an answer as to why it is that it's such a prevalent disease? Hopefully that will inform policy interventions, if at all.
Yeah, no, if one were to put...
Ooh.
...of the minister...
Sorry, Deputy Minister, your line is not very great. Can I ask that you just move around a little bit and maybe try to speak to that again? Your line was breaking and cutting terribly over there.
How is it now? I don't know whether you are able to hear me.
Much better. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think if you can borrow from the contribution that was made by the Minister in his closing remarks, that it's time for COVID 19 to pay back to TB. You know, the way we have done and accelerated the interventions and campaigns on the COVID 19 has really made us, as a country, as the world, to have fewer deaths, and we are almost on the control of COVID 19. Of course, at the expense of many other programs that we kept at a bay and then.
Oh, Deputy Minister, your line's... Sorry, Deputy Minister, I'm going to have to pause you there. Your line's cutting very terribly again. Let's see if we can get you on a better line so that we can hear you much, much, much clearer. Priyashni, I want to ask this.
I was going to say I'm happy to also continue the conversation because I was there, you know, and we, as the TB think tank, we work very closely with the Department of Health. And right now, there is a policy that was talked about quite extensively at the TB conference. It's called the Recovery Plan. It's our National TB Recovery Plan, and it really aims to reverse the losses incurred by the TB program and TB services in South Africa during the COVID-19 pandemic and the associated lockdown, as well as to accelerate, you know, the efforts towards attaining our NSP, our SDG, and end TB target. The focus of the plan is really across the cascade of care. It cuts across the entire cascade of care when it comes to TB, aiming to find people with undiagnosed TB in communities, strengthening the linkage of people diagnosed with TB to treatment, strengthening retention in TB care, as well as prevention efforts. So as you can see, there's an entire bouquet of interventions, all evidence-based, that the National Department of Health with the TB think tank have put together. And that's really our plan to bolster TB and get back the control of the TB control program in South Africa.
What will it take to get there, Priyashni? Why are we not there just yet? Is it a resource crisis?
So, you know, one of the great things in South Africa is that we have very progressive policy. Where we are failing is often in the implementation. And it's really about strengthening our health systems so that we can ensure we are able to implement all the robust policies and guidance, as well as all the new interventions. You'll see that the plan even talks to shortening drug regimens so that we can improve treatment adherence, particularly for drug-resistant TB. I mean, this was, you know, we currently have an all-oral regimen, so there's no injections. Previously, it was almost a 24-month treatment for patients with very poor outcomes, but now we're looking at just 6 months of treatment. You know, this is the same as our drug-sensitive TB treatment. So really great advances, which we need to ensure that our health systems are strong enough to be able to implement.
Give us a call. The number is 086-000-2032, 086-000-2032. Taking your WhatsApp voice notes on 0614-104-107. Priyashni, I want to take it here. I mean, earlier on, I mentioned that TB disproportionately affects people who are socioeconomically vulnerable. But you said that anyone can get TB, and that's a medical fact, right? It's a scientific fact. But it's irresistible to try and zoom in on the fact that most people with TB happen to be South Africans who are disenfranchised. Why is it that TB disproportionately affects the disenfranchised?
Well, you know, I'm kind of going along with patients that are vulnerable, you know, there are other issues that complicate and further decrease their immunity, like nutritional issues. These are people who are, you know, in poverty, and they don't have the means and way to ensure adequate nutrition. We have, you know, populations and age groups that are almost immediately vulnerable, children less than 5, those that are above 60 years, etc. And in addition, we, you know, South Africa has one of the highest incidence of HIV in the world. And that additionally places the burden and increases susceptibility to TB.
Yeah. It's incredible that you mentioned nutrition, because and children under 5 being vulnerable, because child hunger in South Africa is an actual real crisis linked to food security and their interventions towards that. How much of the TB mitigation plan, or the recovery plan as you spoke about, is interlinked to other non-medical functionaries to be able to make sure that the fight against TB is an adequate one? So I can't imagine that the Department of Health, with its social and business partners, would be the only driver of the implementation of this when people are hungry, right? That means that the Department of Social Development has a role to play there as well, and its social partners. How much of this will be a multidisciplinary approach?
Well, you're absolutely right. It is a multi-sectoral response, and I'm very glad to say that not only our Deputy Minister of Health attended the conference during the entire duration of the conference, but also our Deputy Minister of Social Development was there. And it was really great to see that, you know, the acknowledgement that we can't just, it is not just the Department of Health problem.
Yeah.
It's beyond this. And a multi-sectoral response is what is required. You know, even, and not just the Department of Social Development, but also engaging the private sector so that GPs and medical aides can also get on board and avoid further delays, ensuring the diagnosis and treatment of patients who need it and who have TB.
Yeah, this is obviously a South African approach, but there are other organizations across the world also looking at TB in different parts of the world. How much of South Africa's efforts is plugged into the global effort?
Sorry, how much of?
How much of South Africa's intervention is plugged into the global effort to fight TB? This is obviously not just a South African problem. I ask that because you are with the Aurum Institute, which is a global institute.
Yes, so you know, TB is one of, in South Africa, as one of the highest, people in South Africa is one of the highest incidents of TB. And it is a huge problem, not just in South Africa, but sub-Saharan Africa. And the additional problem with co-infection of HIV further places us on a back foot. So currently, you know, our ranking ranges from about 8th amongst the top high burden countries. So South Africa is about 8th, if I remember the last WHO status. And so we contribute, you know, fairly significant to the global burden of TB.
Yeah.
However, the TB in South Africa is very different from the TB in other countries like India. And we see a lot more HIV positive TB as opposed to the rest of the world.
That is incredible. To borrow COVID-19 language, right, and the epidemiological language we used over there, are there different variants and strains of TB? I didn't imagine there would be.
No, not as such. It's just that because we have, you know, prior to HIV, South Africa was actually on the way to getting better control of TB. And as the HIV epidemic surged, we saw this massive acceleration in the incidence of TB. So HIV really accelerated our TB problem. And hence, we are sitting with the problem that we have currently. And HIV program has made great strides. But where we need to strengthen the HIV program right now is the losses we have with patients that we've initiated, but now are falling out of care. Because what happens to these patients is that they inevitably end up in our hospitals with, you know, severe immune suppression and disseminated TB, which contributes to our high TB mortality. Hence, you know, TB is the number one cause of death amongst people living with HIV.
Have these social and lived experiences of TB, was it discussed at the conference this week? Because TB often immobilizes people and causes various disabilities, and its impact can put an end to somebody's ability to be laborious and productive. And I don't know if we make the distinction between TB and silicosis, but it seems to have a similar impact, that you may not be able to have a job due to the impact of TB in your life, and therefore special interventions to that extent, non-medical interventions, are important. How much of that was discussed this week?
It was one of the key threads in the entire conference. You know, this shared living experience of the TB patient. And that's why even when you look at the interventions that form part of the TB recovery plan, a lot of them are focused on being patient-centric and putting the patient at the center of the care. So understanding that, you know, gone are the days when it's just about dispensing medication and expecting patients to swallow. But it's about understanding that patients cannot always make it to the clinic. And we have differentiated models of care where we take the treatment to patients, bring it closer to them for easier access. We have external pickup points with the ARV programs, and we want to ensure that that's even utilized for TB, for the TB program as well.
Yeah.
We are trying as much as possible within the healthcare department and in healthcare to put our patient at the center and understand and appreciate that, you know, life happens.
Yeah.
And they might not always be able to respond in every way that we want to and we need them to, but at the minimum, they need to know, you know, what does this journey look like with TB?
Yeah.
And like HIV, there's a start and there's an end date.
Yeah. Do we have an awareness crisis when it comes to TB in South Africa? And if we do, how big of a crisis is it?
So I do think we have an awareness issue. In fact, it was very interesting because at the plenary, there was really a call for our president to have a family meeting about TB. You know, the family meeting that we had for COVID was really, it was extremely well received. And the most important part of it was about it being one message for all South Africans, irrespective of your social standing. And we think that having our president, who's such a key figure, you know, talk about TB, make it a reality, perhaps engage with some of the interventions on the TB recovery plan, like we have a TB health check, which allows you to screen through your cell phone. You know, and just increasing our screening and awareness, we learned a lot of lessons from COVID. And I think it's time that we leverage these lessons in the TB program.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Really, really do appreciate it, Priyashni Pandit Subrayan. We lost Dr. Mbuyiseni Sibongiseni Dhlomo due to load shedding, unfortunately. Terrible network there. That's why that call wasn't very clear. See what load shedding does? But thank you so much to Priyashni Pandit Subrayan, who is a technical TB director.